I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast, your favorite podcast about sex. Woo!
It's Tuesday when we're recording this.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not. It's Thursday.
Oh, it's Thursday.
But we're having a mega podcast day.
Yeah, we are. It's mega.
Like mega.
Mega. Uber. Uber.
Not to be confused with micro.
Super. Guess what, everyone? This podcast. Guess what? It's with Dr. Nicole Eisenbrown. We actually loved recording this podcast, which actually we love recording every single podcast. But Dr. Nicole blew our minds with a lot of the medical technology that is now available for specifically, she was talking about vulva owners and penis owners in ways that you can enhance orgasm, work with incontinence, all the things, bring more sensation, especially with age, but also even for folks with specific conditions that make it hard to orgasm, because that exists, folks of all ages. And she talks about this from a perspective of coming from a surgical background in urology, but now actually does non-surgical work with people with something called like the O shot and the P shot.
The Femi?
Femi wave, right?
Femi wave.
Femi wave is really interesting. We've I was like, I want all of them.
Gaines wave before, but never Femi wave. So.
And Gaines wave is for the penises.
Yeah.
And the Femi wave was for the vulvas. Mm-hmm. And so there's information about ways to work with erectile stuff, ways to work with, I'm moving my dog because he's being a jerk, ways to work with orgasm issues without having to go and get surgery. And of course, there's other ways too. We have sex toys, and there's lots of tools and tips that we have that don't even involve any sort of procedures. But guess what? There's procedures available, and it's kind of awesome that we have this medical technology available.
I know. It's great to be a person in 2021.
I want all the things.
I do too. That was one of my questions, which...
How do I get all the things?
Yeah. I was like, well, I just want to... It's not that I want to anti-age or prevent the inevitable, but I want to minimize the long-term effects of... I want to keep my sex drive, and I want to minimize the things that could go south with my hormones and my vagina. I want it to cooperate.
Well, and she said in the podcast, she said that there's the idea that if we practice early or exercise the things early, then later on muscle memory?
Yep.
Right? Instead of waiting till we have a huge problem, that there's certain things that we can do that are preventative ahead of time. So yeah, stay tuned because there's a lot of really interesting, insightful information. We love her and we will have her back. Chip, guess what I did the other day?
I know, but I'll pretend I don't.
I had a pelvic release session where I had on my pelvic
Didn't
floor.
Didn't you cry a bunch?
Oh, yeah. I cried a ton.
She was holding some things in her pelvic floor.
Well, I was also going through some emotional stuff, but I went. And so April and I have done sexological body work sessions before. We've done podcast episodes about that. And I went and did a session with Willow Brown. Dr. Willow Brown has been on our podcast multiple times. What, three times, I think,
I love
right?
her. Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's amazing. She does all the things, but she does a lot of Taoist sexology. She does, oh, God, acupuncture. Oh, I got the trifecta, too, that you did.
Yeah, I did.
Well, called the trifecta.
I did the trifecta because she uses acupuncture and massage
and craniosacral
together in one session.
Yeah, and that's not really working with the pelvic floor, but it is working with all the organs that also work with the genitals.
Yes.
From afar, like the kidneys,
she
the
was
adrenal glands.
Doing something with my ears, sticking
Me
her
too.
Finger, and then I started salivating, and I was like, I'm salivating a lot right now, and I was like swallowing, and she was telling me that there's this interconnected bone that is in your ear that's connected to your salivical gland, there's another, probably.
Over your saliva glands?
Your saliva glands.
Oh, yeah.
And they're interconnected, and there's a lot of different combinations of things working together in your the bones in your ears with the rest of your head, and
everything's working all together. Yeah. Well, and I was talking to her about sex drive and genitals and things, and she was saying your adrenal glands and your kidneys and your liver and all these things are, they're all connected. If something's depleted, it can affect everything else and your sex drive, or the performance or the sensation in your pussy and your bits. So I had this experience in there, one with a lot of different touch in there, where she's just kind of holding different areas and a lot of tears coming out. And then she was almost like Hakomiing me, like doing like deep therapy work. But I'm bringing this up because, like later that day and the next day and the next day after that, I felt more of my sex drive, more of like that, not like a full pussy throbbing, but more aliveness, more connection. And it was, and it was really profound. It's like I needed the deep release to be able to feel more of that. I want to do these every month. Although she's moving in November.
Where's she moving to?
I think she's moving to Europe. No, Maui first.
Maui.
And then Europe. Oh. Yeah, that's her plan, if she can. Nice. So anyways, if anyone wants to check them
Mass
out.
Mass migration out of California.
Yeah. Well, she does in-person sessions in Santa Cruz. You can also go check her out online. She has an online sessions. It's yinwellness.com. She's amazing. And you can go to her for pretty much all the things. What does she not do? She does everything.
She does.
I just want to talk about that because I like sharing when I do funny things with my pussy. Funny things meaning I let other people touch them for healing. Which a lot of people don't do. It scares people. They're like, oh, God, is that okay?
Yeah, so you just want a well-versed practitioner.
Oh, yeah, I'm not just going to let anyone. And my dog almost threw up in April. What's going on here? My dog is, like, on one today. He's extra crazy.
I'm like, Amy, you do not have a great podcasting dog. She's like, I know.
He's being extra difficult.
Oh, God, he's crawling at me.
Ah. Oh, my God, what's going on over there? Oh, geez, now he's whining. Oh, my God, here comes your dog. Oh, it's a shit show over here, a full-on dog shit show. Okay, so I'm going to read a sex question. Before we do, I'm also going to talk to you about our favorite lube in the whole wide world. We've been fans for years. Uber Lube. April, what's your favorite thing about Uber Lube? Go.
Well, my favorite thing is that I use it on everything and I consistently run out of it. I'm like, another bottle gone?
Yeah.
Because I need to get the mega size bottle.
Which is, yeah.
I don't know how many milliliters it is, but it's massive.
100 milliliter.
Because I always feel like I'm out of it. But I love that it has no smell. It lasts for quite a long time until, but not like other silicone lubes where 3 days after I take a shower, I
still there.
Do everything, scrub, soap, and water, and it doesn't come off. Uber Lube lasts as until you don't want it anymore. And then with a shower or just like just cleansing wipe, it will dissipate.
I actually like it on my body too. I don't even feel like I need a shower. I'm like, I want to rub this all into my skin, on my cuticles,
in your
my
hair.
Yeah, has no flavor, no scent.
She's got some wild mane hair.
It's some of the best lube in our expert opinion. We are huge fans and I recommend trying a bottle so you can join the fan club. Most people that have tried it, they're just never going to turn back. And guess what, everyone? You all get 10% off and free shipping in the United States when you use code shamelesssex at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping when you try our favorite lube, and it comes in a pretty glass bottle. You should use code shamelesssex. Go check it out right now and you won't regret it. All right, you likely won't. I can't promise that, but I'm pretty sure you won't. Okay, you ready for a sex question?
Yeah.
I've been with my partner for 3 years now. It started with a lot of sex, which is great because my libido is high. And I think this is a vulva owner, everyone. We recently moved in together and our sex life has decreased. Every now and again, my partner will not be interested in sex and for several days to a week. During this time, I feel sad, unmotivated, unwanted, and not confident. I masturbate during this time, but it really doesn't do much for me. I fully know that it's not cool to pressure someone into having sex, so I can't put this on him. He has suggested that I find other people to have sex with, and they also said they have to try this. It doesn't work. It's not really for me. Another thing is that during this time, I think, well, maybe I'll just smoke a cigarette and I quit a year ago, but I don't. This makes me think I'm addicted to sex. Do you think this is true, or do I just need to get over it?
Amy hates the term get over it.
Get over
it. So no, do not do that. Hates a strong word. You do not
I really
concur.
I don't
people
think it's
need
helpful
to get over it.
To just say like, oh, just get over it. Just drop it. Your needs don't matter. Your feelings, your sads. Yeah, certainly
I
not.
I don't think that they are, I don't think they're
sex.
Addicted to sex. No. It sounds like things do shift on the regular when you move in with a person because, and this is why you have to take some extra time to nurture the romance and the physical pleasure pieces in the relationship because you can become roommates and the logistics get in the way. or the comfortability of being home and wanting to just chill out and watch some, stream some movies. And so you have to really, if you really want time to speak to this and to time to be with your partner intimately and physically, you're going to have to talk to him, he's a penis-owning human, and let them know that, let him know that this is important for you. But I don't think you're addicted to sex.
Well, it sounds like they have had conversations. The partner's like, well, just go sleep with other people. You know, they're trying the things. They tried the sleeping with other people or dating other people. It's not their jam. They're trying masturbating. But what's happening is that you still feel some sort of void. You feel sad, unmotivated. And then the things that stick out is like the unwanted and not confident. Like it's something wrong with you. And there's something in you that's taking it personal. And it's like your worthiness cup is not being filled. And it's waiting for sex or affection from a partner or another person to fill that void. Does that make you an addict? I don't really think so. I think when we're talking about sex addiction or addiction in general, and I'm not an expert in this, but my understanding is that addiction is often something that's really affecting your life. Like it's getting in the way of things. You can't drop it. It gets in the way of your work, your relationships. It's like all that you can do. It's like there's another energy or being or entity in your world.
This reminds me, I just watched this movie, Barbara Streisand movie, called A Mirror Has Two Faces. It's from like 96.
Oh,
Jeff
yeah.
Bridges is in it. And it's about how he's like this very attractive professor and he is just like, I don't know, crazy is the best way to put it when there's an attractive female around and sex gets in the way. So he hooks up with Barbara Streisand and they get married and they choose not to have sex because he says it's something that ruins his pathway to the rest of his career expanding because he gets so involved with it. And then whatever, at the end, she needs to have sex and not just be, you know, this professor. But it's true. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, sex isn't, it's a barometer that indicates what's happening in my life with my partner. And when it's good, and I need it, I don't equate sex and love to be the same thing, but when it's good and my sex is going well, I feel like my relationship is, I feel more connected and more connected to myself because it's so important. And I can masturbate the day away, but it's just not the same. I crave and need that thing. I don't think I could be in like a platonic partnership without sex.
Yeah. And so I'm curious for this person, if what would happen if you broaden the definition of sex? I do this with couples a lot when I work with them, is like, what is your partner's definition of sex? What's your definition? How can we broaden it so that if your partner's not really turned on or interested in sex for a couple days to a week is what it says. What, maybe it's not penetrative sex they're available for. Maybe having their cock touch is not what they're available for, but can they use their mouth on you? Can they use their fingers on you? Can they use a sex toy on you because you're the one that's turned on or interested? Can they watch you masturbate? You know, I think when people get stuck in the idea that sex has to happen a certain way, it's really pressuring. If someone's not there, which I'm not always there, like for penetrative sex or all types of sex, it can get in the way. So broaden that for both of you and then meet each other in the middle. Like, you know, you want it 5 days a week. They want it one day a week or 2 days a week. Meet in the middle and then broaden what that looks like. And don't make it just like one way. And I think also the other tip I would say is there's anything wrong with you, but like go work on building your worthiness cup up, filling it up for yourself. I know you're trying masturbating and dating and all these other things. And that's not working. It's not your jam, but what are some other ways you can do that to feel, you said, unwanted, not confident, unmotivated. So how can you feel wanted by yourself? How can you feel motivated? How can you feel confident without having someone else say, I want to fuck you to feel that way?
To just binge watch romance comedies.
There you go.
And Friends. That's what I do.
Does it make you feel when I'm not getting wanted laid and motivated?
I'm like, you know what?
I bet that makes you really
it
wanted.
It makes me distracted and laugh and sort of look in my brain about what I'm seeking in a partnership.
Ah, yeah. Are you Chandler Bing?
Yeah.
I want a Chandler Bing when I grow up.
No.
Anyways, good luck to you. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. It sounds like there's just some work to do.
There you go. Well, that was a good sex question. Are you ready for Dr. Eisenbrown's bio?
Yeah.
Dr. Eisenbrown is a private practicing urologist who is board certified in both urology and female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. Her practice is dedicated to restoring pelvic health and pleasure in women. Dr. Eisenbrown is a number one best-selling author of several books, including Sometimes I Laugh So Hard, The Tears Run Down My Legs, and Why Does Sex Hurt? To learn more, visit DrEisenbrown.com. That's DrEisenbrown.com. But first,
we know sex and pleasure are major factors when it comes to well-being, and there's even science to prove it. Orgasms have been shown to boost your mood, reduce stress, support your sleep quality, and even benefit your immune system. This is why we can't get enough of Foria. Foria creates intimacy products that fundamentally change the way vulva owners experience pleasure. Foria is like your pleasure godmother, here to remind you that your body can do amazing things and that you deserve the climax every time.
My favorite Foria product is the Awaken Arousal Oil. It actually works with your body to enhance pleasure, ease discomfort, and help make great sex even better because it was designed to support sexual pleasure, solo or with a partner. And now you can have your own pleasure godmother too, because Foria is offering a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order by visiting foriawellness.com/shameless or use code shameless at checkout. That's foriawellness.com/shameless for 20% off your first order. I also recommend trying their intimacy suppositories with CBD because I love how they enhance my arousal. You'll thank me later. All right, it's showtime.
All right, everyone, it is episode time, interview time, and we are here with Dr. Nicole Eisen-Brown. We had some tech issues to get here, so just so you know, we're here. We made it happen. That's how much we love you, dear sweet listeners. We are here today to talk to Dr. Nicole Eisen-Brown about all kinds of important conversations. And she comes from a background of urology, working with people on erectile dysfunction, also with a lot of vulva owners. We realized a lot of our questions were geared towards vulva owning humans, but we also are going to ask about erectile stuff because we want to cover all our bases. And that is a big question that we get from people, from our listeners. We also are going to cover the question about endometriosis that we received from a number of people. While this is not Nicole's specialty because she comes from a field of urology and more from pelvic floor healing and pain, she will have a couple things to say on that too. But before we go into all this, Nicole, we always start with the same prompt, Dr. Nicole. We ask our listeners to share a little bit more about your journey on how you got to the field of sexuality. And specifically, I was reading in your bio, why at 12 years old did you want to be either a nun or a heart surgeon?
Oh my goodness. You guys are awesome. I don't know where you found that, but well, I always kind of wanted to be a teacher, but when I was in fourth grade, I was attending a Catholic school and we were living in Panama at the time. And I don't know, there must've been something the teacher said that day that was pretty inspiring. And so I came home and told my mother, I decided what I was going to do. I was either going to be a heart surgeon or a nun. And she looked at me and said, well, I'd rather you not be a nun. And so, but for those of you Catholics out there, don't worry. She's still a very devoted Catholic, but she grew up in the time where they beat your knuckles with a ruler. So that's what she thought. But anyway, I evolved not to do either at that point. In fact, when I was in eighth grade, I came home and told my parents I had no idea what I was going to major in college. And I was going to panic about it. And of course, they're looking at me like, you're in eighth grade. Why are you even thinking about this? So I ended up majoring in business in college for one reason. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I wanted to go into something that I thought would expose me to some things which would spark an interest. Well, nothing sparked an interest. So I graduated with a business degree and went into sales. And I was working with Pfizer in Jacksonville, Florida, as a pharmaceutical rep. And I was shadowing one of my physicians who was a pulmonologist. And I had a very unique situation. We took one of his last patients of the day into his office, and I had no idea what was going to happen, but he ended up telling her that she had lung cancer. And her ears heard that for the first time. And she, as you can imagine, went through every emotion that you could imagine under the sun. And it was really quite devastating for her. But I also got to watch how my friend kind of walked her through that process. And when she left that office, she had a sense of hope. And I knew I would never be motivated by a quota or a new drug that was going to come out or a promotion in the business world again. And I decided that day I wanted to go to medical school. I had no idea how. I didn't even know what was involved. At that time, I thought pre-med was a four-year degree, which it's not. There's just some prerequisites you have to do. I was 26 years old. I had one chemistry class. So this was not what would most people would consider a really bright decision as a 26-year-old. But I did all my research and figured out it was going to take me 11 years. And so I embarked on my 11-year plan. And 11 years later, I was a practicing urologist.
Wow, that's it. 11 years? Wow, no big deal.
I justified it as saying, well, I'm going to be 40 one day anyway. I might as well be 40 and a doctor instead of 40 saying, gee, I wish you'd at least tried. So that's kind of the short answer of a long journey.
That's great. And urology it's an incredible field. And I think for those folks out there who don't know a lot about urology, as well as female pelvic floor medicine, and I know that you have some other specializations that you told us about before we started recording, but can you talk about the field of urology, female pelvic floor medicine, also reconstructive surgery? I guess, what does this entail? And I know there's a lot of different questions layered on there, but why is this field so important?
Okay. Well, I think all fields of medicine are important because every part of the body is important. But I think the first thing I want to share with people is how I got into urology, because that always sort of mystifies people. I only have one kidney. So, and all the females in my family are urology patients. So most people think of urology as a male specialty. I didn't grow up thinking that. So it didn't seem odd to me to be interested in urology. So when I was doing my rotations in medical school, I thought I wanted to be an OBGYN. And then I decided that I really liked surgery and my experience was really great in my surgical rotations. And urology was just a natural fit for me because it was personal. So I went into urology. And it's kind of interesting. My favorite procedure when I was a urologist was a penile prosthesis. So when I finished my training, I thought I was going to be the guru of erectile dysfunction in the panhandle because I practiced in Panama City for 16 years. But I got to Panama City and I was the only female urologist in over 300 miles. So very quickly, all of my patients became females and they don't have penises. So I can't really do anything with that. So that's when I decided that I would embrace what God was giving me and I would take care of women. And so that's when I got board certified in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. And through that, I did a lot of prolapse, a lot of incontinence, and associated with that, all the sexual health issues that women have. So I've been treating both men and women for sexual issues for 2 decades now.
And so my guess is this is really common for people with something that people are dealing with pelvic floor issues, but both penis owners, vulva owners, and all the in-betweens.
Oh, absolutely. And it's far more common than people know because most people don't talk about the issues, especially men. Women, I think, are a little bit more adept to share information with each other about what they do sexually, whether or not they're having sex, whether they're having pain with sex, but men don't discuss it with each other at all. And they're not very comfortable talking about it with the doctor either. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I know that there's a lot of doctors that maybe have their own stuff around talking about sexuality that might show up too. And not just doctors, but even therapists and a lot of professions where they have their own biases or discomfort in talking about sexuality. So while they might ask, you know, some of the questions that are part of the protocol, the invitation to go into the deep dive about what's really happening in the bedroom or outside the bedroom, but just sexually or with the anatomy of the body might not be their forte.
We've had other doctors that have practiced various forms of medicine on the show that have mentioned that a lot of Western training and becoming a doctor entails nothing that has to do with pleasure, really, right? So sex is a piece, but it's not pleasure, which is
more
quite
like,
interesting.
It's like function.
It's function, right? But pleasure is a piece of all of those, the jigsaw puzzle that you put together. I just wanted, because that was, for me, my brain never calculated that that wouldn't be a piece of studying medicine in terms of, it's such a huge piece of most people's lives. So yeah,
no, you're absolutely correct. I mean, you know, I trained on the urology side and although we trained in fertility and we trained in the function of the penis, we didn't talk about the relationship issues. We didn't talk about, you know, libido and how all of this stuff works together. And my gynecology colleagues didn't get that training either. I got all of my sort of training in this field by doing trainings after residency. I'm a member of ISHWISH, which is the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health. And I've done the sexual health courses at the AUA, which taught me things that I never learned in residency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, in your expert opinion, we'll talk about the vulva owners right now, why you think that, what are the main reasons why a lot of vulva owners are experiencing painful sex and maybe coming to you or other pelvic floor specialists or other urologists? You know, what are the main reasons that are coming up that you're seeing?
Well, there's a lot of reasons women have pain with intercourse, and kind of drilling down on exactly what their symptoms are, it can help figure it out. For example, the most common cause of pain with intercourse is vulvodynia, actually hormonally mediated vestibulodynia. And most gynecologists don't even know how to treat that. They just want to throw a lubricant at you. And that's really a shame, because there's a lot of women that have that problem, and it's a super easy thing to fix. You can just use a compounded estrogen and testosterone cream on these glands that are in the vestibule. And in most cases, within 2 weeks, the pain goes away. That's the most common, but there's lots of others. Lack of lubrication from vaginal dryness is one. When you lose estrogen, two things happen to the female vagina as we age. They either get bigger or they get smaller. And it kind of depends on whether you're sexually active or not and whether you have estrogen. So older women who are not sexually active, who don't have estrogen, their vagina shrivels up and becomes very small. And then they try to have intercourse. It's too small and it's too stiff, so it won't stretch very well. So that's a completely different problem than the woman who's had several children. She's sexually active, and then her vagina just becomes bigger and it's not as tight and snug around the penis. So that causes a completely different sexual problem. So kind of knowing what's going on. Endometriosis, you mentioned that. You know, two-thirds of women who have endometriosis experience some sort of sexual difficulty. And the most common difficulty is pain with intercourse. We believe that, as I said, I'm not an endometriosis expert in terms of treating it, but I've certainly been on the physician side of dealing with a woman who has pain with intercourse with endometriosis. We believe that it has something to do with the implants that might be on the backside of the vagina. And so that when you have intercourse, that tissue, it's already irritated, is being stretched and manipulated and is painful. It also tends to be worse during menstrual cycles because it's hormonally sensitive tissue. Mm-hmm. You know, so some women do better between their cycles and don't have as much pain, but then some women have pain all of the time. So treating the endometriosis, of course, is key.
And wait, so just to be clear, endometriosis, mm-hmm. does it have to do with the uterine lining? Is that what it is?
Endometriosis is the uterine lining tissue that has escaped into the peritoneal cavity, is implanted and grows there. So it's hormonally sensitive tissue. So it responds to the hormonal shifts in a woman, just like the uterine lining. Now, the uterine lining will shed and goes out the proper pathways. But if you have implants and tissue that's not used to having tissue that grows, wants to shed and bleed, that can cause some, a lot of discomfort.
And then the vulvodynia, which is, you said, one of the most common things that occurs in
vestibulodynia specifically.
I love learning about this stuff. Yeah. I'm like, yes, teach me, doctor.
Well, you know, there's three embryologic origins of the female genitalia, which is actually really important because they come from different germ layers, so they have different needs. You know, if you go from outside to in, you've got the vulva, which is the mons pubis, the labia majora. It comes from ectoderm. Ectoderm is where all your skin comes from. So it has very similar characteristics to skin. It's got hair. It's a dry surface. It has sweat glands. It does not secrete. Doesn't have a secretion to it. It is not hormonally sensitive. Then if you separate the labia majora and then the labia minora, you can see a very distinct line, a change in the color of the tissue. It goes from flesh colored to sometimes even red, and people will think that means it's infected. It's not. That's called Hart's line, and that's where the vulva meets the vestibule. The vestibule goes from Hart's line to 1 centimeter inside of the vagina, past the remnant of the hymen, and that comes from the urogenital sinus, which is where the urethra and the bladder come from. If you look at a Netter, which is the book that we we learn our anatomy from in medical school, and nurses and any medical professional is familiar with Netter. If you look at the female development of the urinary tract compared to the male development, the vestibule is analogous to the prostatic urethra. And the reason that's important is both sexes have remnant structures from the other one. And the vestibular glands are a remnant structure from the male parts. So those vestibular glands need testosterone, which is the part. So the vestibule needs estrogen and testosterone, where the vulva needs no hormones. And then the vagina needs estrogen and only estrogen. And it comes from mesoderm. So you have three different embryologic origins, which is the reason you have three different sets of problems and three different sets of needs.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. Can you remind me, vulvodynia and vestibule? I already forgot.
Vestibulodynia.
Is this the tightening of that constant? No, that's
or
that's,
the or the loose.
That's vaginismus.
That's vaginismus is the muscle.
We're quizzing ourselves.
What happens with, well, the way I learned it was hormonally mediated vestibulodynia. And what happens is because you have these vestibular glands that are right sort of around the opening of the vagina that need hormones. When you lose your estrogen and you also lose your testosterone, we don't think that much about the importance of testosterone in women. We don't know now that it's very important in libido, but it's also very important in the health of the vestibule. So if you have these glands that don't have testosterone and they need it, they become unhealthy. Hmm. If a gland is unhealthy, then it can't clear itself of secretions and bacteria and things like that. So think of it as like a, you know, infected pimple. Mm. So now you push on that either with a speculum. Most women who have that will find speculum exams very painful. And then you put a penis in there, which is squishing this already tender gland. It's a painful thing. Mm. So one of the clues that I always used when I would talk to a patient who said she had pain with intercourse, I want to know, where does she have the pain? Is it with entry to the vagina, or is it like with deep thrusting? Hmm. Because some women have pain deep in the vagina, and that can be from hysterectomy scar or a foreshortened vagina, or, you know, lack of estrogen, so the vagina is not elastic enough, etc. But if it's right on entry, almost always it's those vestibular glands. And it's a super easy thing to test because you can see them. They're right at 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11 o'clock, right around the entry. And you just take a Q-tip and touch it, and the woman will climb to the ceiling.
This podcast was made possible by Satisfyer. One of the best ways to spice things up in the bedroom is by adding some sort of newness. New sex positions, new and exciting sexual activities, maybe a new sexual partner or two, and our favorite option, new pleasure devices. Satisfyer makes turning up the heat easy with a variety of O-Tastic vibrators and air pulse stimulators fully equipped with cutting-edge technology. Their new line of products is Bluetooth enabled and pairs with the Satisfyer Connect app, so you can connect your device to your Android, Apple, and iWatch, and you won't break the bank along the way.
I recently tried Satisfyer's Dual Pleasure and Orgasm After Orgasm Later. I'm a fan for life. It's like two toys in one with options for vibrating internal pleasure or an air pulse clitoral stimulator. Vulva owners, you are seriously missing out if you haven't tried Satisfyer's air pulse technology. And right now, Satisfyer is offering our lucky listeners 30% off any Satisfyer when you go to satisfyer.com and enter code SHAMELESSSEX30 at checkout. Again, if you're looking for one of our favorite new devices, go to satisfyer.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX30 for 30% off.
This podcast was also made possible by omgs.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGS is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGS will give you the techniques to get your O-face on. There are two seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless. That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGS access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show.
Interesting. Interesting because, so I've done sex, I'm going to make this about me, sexological bodywork sessions. And so it was April where we were clients where someone was doing some hands-on pelvic floor healing. And for me, our dogs are having a dog fight. For me, I have discovered that there's these parts right around the entrance, like the first, I don't know, half an inch of the labia at actually pretty much those spots. Specifically at the 6 o'clock spot, but also like 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And everyone, if you're wondering about the clock, if you're looking at the top of a vulva, we're
one,
saying
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Hey, okay, sorry. The top of the vaginal opening, or like, you know, clitoris and urethra, that whole part would be 12. And then you're moving your way down where the bottom will be 6 o'clock. So you're saying that a lot of this is related to hormones, but also how does trauma come into play here too? Like people having experiences. Not, and I don't have severe trauma. I've had a lot of compliant sex in my day where I wasn't feeling a big yes, but I still went with it. And do you see that as part of it too, that people have had experiences that have just really hurt this part of their body and made it so that they feel pain there?
Yeah, well, a lot of people who have had physical trauma, especially sexual trauma, can be very challenging to treat because it's multidimensional. It's physical, it's emotional, it's psychological, but they definitely have a physical component to it. A lot of it tends to be a hypertonic pelvic floor and muscle spasticity, so then, the second they anticipate that they're going to be entered, even if it's with a person that they love and respect and feel comfortable with, they can't help but tighten those muscles in anticipation. It's kind of a learned response. And it makes it very, very hot. And that can be very painful. I treat a lot of, and it's kind of related to this, like interstitial cystitis or people who have chronic pelvic pain in general, not just with intercourse. And one of the things that I learned in my research when I was studying all of that is that many of those women tend to have a chronically hypertonic pelvic floor. And if you increase the tension in a muscle by 10%, you decrease the blood flow through that muscle by 50%. Mm. So just think of a muscle that's chronically overcontracted. Now you don't have the blood flow growing through it. So you're going to build up lactic acid, and all, because blood flow is the key to everything in healing. It helps to wash out, the toxins, it brings the oxygen and all of that. So anybody who has chronically over tightened muscles is going to have, it's going to catapult a snowball into multiple problems, which could be pain with intercourse or even just pain in general.
Mm-hmm. So that's
pain with urination, pain with defecation, all of that.
Yeah. And that's, I think, a great leading or segue, if you will, to this question, because obviously seeing a doctor and getting the care of a doctor, if you're experiencing this chronic painful sex, but are there some solutions that maybe are things that people can do at home or a more holistic solution that you can suggest? Our listeners, they really love tips. So if you have anything you can share with us, that would be fantastic.
Absolutely. There's lots of things that we can do. And the things that we can do are constantly being developed. So for example, if you have someone that has a chronically tense pelvic floor with whatever the manifestation of it is, physical therapy can be very helpful. And there are physical therapists that specialize that. And they use special muscle relaxants and massage to kind of relax that. You can use vibrators to do that. You do it very gently. Ooh. And you do it in not sexual playtime, because you have to, because sexual play has other things. You want to be relaxing. I had, hot baths and things like that can always help. The kinds of things that I can do to help, one of the things that's really kind of new and exciting is FemiWave, which is kind of the girl's side of Gainswave, which is low intensity shockwave therapy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not.
I've heard a little about it, but not a lot.
Yeah. Gainswave, we've talked about before, but
They use that more for erectile stuff, for Gainswave. So this is more, but this is for blood flow then.
But it can be used for women. Well, I mean, just to talk about low intensity shockwave therapy in general, as a urologist, we've used shockwave therapy for decades. At high intensities, it'll break up a kidney stone. Mm. But at low intensities, it stimulates healing. It's used in wound healing. It's used in tendonitis. It's used in a lot of musculoskeletal disorders. I've used it for several years to treat erectile dysfunction. And one of the primary things that low intensity shockwave therapy does is it stimulates neoangiogenesis, which is new blood vessels. It stimulates stem cells to proliferate and differentiate. It also creates a low grade inflammatory response, which is the way the body heals things, is through inflammation. So there's no reason it shouldn't also work in women. And so we've been studying it in women, and we're finding that it reduces incontinence in women, which is huge, because more and more women want to do things naturally without surgery. You know, I mean, as a urologist, I've operated on thousands of women, but women don't necessarily want to do surgery if they can avoid it. And now if there's options that you can avoid surgery, they want to choose that. So it helps with incontinence. It also helps with overactive bladder. We're finding it helps with people who have vulvodynia or vestibular dyspareunia. And we think that that actually might be working on two different levels. One, because it's improving blood flow, and blood flow brings oxygenation, washes away, you know, lactic acid, and helps the body to heal. But we also think that it modulates nerves, because a lot of these women who have pain with intercourse have abnormal sort of nerve function, and maybe the nerves are sending too many or too few signals. And so we think it's kind of modulating the pain receptors, and that is downregulating their sense of pain.
Internally or externally or both?
It's actually externally. So there's six areas that we target, because the path, the vibration penetrates several centimeters into the tissue. So you don't actually have to put it into the vagina. You do the labia majora, you do the perineum, and we do, you know, sort of the crew of the clitoris, and that helps the tissue all the way in the vagina to improve blood flow, improve the health of it, decrease pain, improve continence. And it also seems to help with bladder function. We found that, I was looking at some studies earlier today that show that the bladder capacity increases, which means you can go longer between urination. So people who have frequency, it can help them. It helps people go to the bathroom less frequently at night, less urgently, just kind of more control.
So can it be preventative if you aren't having painful sex or anything that is related to endometriosis or vulvodynia
or bladder control?
Can you do these things preventatively? I'm like, Because I mean, yeah. that's huge.
I'm obviously like, do I need it now?
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, I'm not having.
I personally say yes.
Okay.
And the analogy I'm going to give is more on the men's side, since I have some experience with that. Like, for example, the erectile dysfunction. I will have young men in their like 30s and 40s who are functional. They don't have erectile dysfunction. They just don't function as well or as with the stamina or the firmness that they did when they were 20. So they want that back. And they come in and they get it back pretty quickly. And I believe that they will end up maintaining better, longer term health of their erections because they're maintaining it and starting early, taking care of things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, if you've gone to the gym 5 days a week from the time you were 20 till you're 60, as opposed to starting at 55, you know, you compare those two 60-year-olds, the one who's been taking care of himself his whole life is going to be in far better shape, better condition, better health than the person who picked it up later.
Yeah.
I'm curious about this. Was it FemWave?
It's called FemiWave.
FemiWave. Okay. So is this something that someone goes into a clinic to do? Is it something you do one time, you do once a month?
Can I buy it at home?
Does insurance cover it? What are we talking?
Amy, help me out. Okay, well,
the bad news, insurance doesn't cover anything that is worthwhile. They don't cover a lot of more natural things, unfortunately. And I'd love to say that that'll probably change, but they're about making money. So it's unlikely. But right now it would be something you'd go to a practitioner for, probably, you know, someone like myself or anybody who does Gainswave will most likely also offer FemiWave. There is a home device that we use for men. So at some point, that's probably going to be useful for women. It's called the Phoenix Pro. And you can buy that through anybody that offers the Gainswave or FemiWave. But right now, women respond pretty quickly, even in as little as 4 to 8 treatments. you know, so coming in and having somebody who knows what they're doing and knowing exactly where to put it and how many shocks. And, you know, there is a little bit of some science behind the settings on the machine so that we get the good results. Plus, I can also see what else might, you know, I don't want to treat it in a vacuum. A woman may also need that compounded cream to help with the vestibular glands, or she may, for example, if I have an older woman who's wants to become sexually active and hasn't been for a while, and she has a tight introitus that's a little stiff because she doesn't have estrogen, she may need some estrogen and then use some self-dilating water. I don't know if you guys ever heard of cool water cones. Mm-hmm. You can get them on the internet. They're wonderful for people who have scar tissue or need to stretch tissue. Because they're self lubricating with water, and they're very soft, and they're only like $45 on Amazon. I don't know if
it's
Amazon
like a dilator kind of almost, but
yeah, they're called cool water cones, and they come in three different ones. They have different lengths and they're graduated in size. So, so for someone who maybe has a foreshortened vagina from an overly aggressive hysterectomy and they have pain deep because the vagina is too short for the penis, they can slowly stretch that. Of course, you need to do it not with sex because that's, you know, it'd be painful. You just do it very gently, but you need estrogen to soften the mucosa so that for the elasticity. Or for a woman whose introitus is too tight, the same thing. She can slowly dilate that so that she can accommodate a penis without pain.
Is the compound cream testosterone that you're saying?
It's got both estrogen and testosterone in it.
So I'm not trying to turn this into me at all. I just have a question because I'm 30.
Let's turn it into you.
Yeah, no.
That's the benefits of the job.
But there's a lot of listeners out there that are around my age, and I'm 39. I just turned 39. And so I've
Happy
noticed.
Birthday.
Thank you. I noticed subtle changes with my body, of course, but in terms of my vagina, and it's like sex sometimes is more painful. And so I guess my question is, getting your hormones tested, I mean, is it yearly or, because I've had my hormones tested. We worked with a fertility company that Shameless Sex worked with to test our all of our hormones and our levels, and I was pretty healthy, but can that shift? I mean, I'm a virtually healthy person. I want to make sure I maintain my sex drive. I know that's definitely not all the time. Sometimes I just don't want to have sex, but like, as a woman that isn't premenopausal or postmenopausal or going through menopause, am I a person that should go on a regular basis to get my hormone levels checked so I can maintain and make sure that my sex life is healthy? I'm not having painful sex, but I want to be preventative.
No, I would. And, you know, our hormones start to decline starting at the age of 35, even
damn
if we're still menstruating.
Son of a bitch.
And the other thing that people don't realize, for example, with libido specifically, you know, anyone who's been on the birth control pill, which is a ton of women, their sex hormone binding globulin protein goes up. And sex hormone binding globulin is the protein that binds your estrogen and testosterone. I kind of think of it as like roving storage. So let's say you have X amount of testosterone. About 10% of that is bound to the sex hormone binding globulin, let's say. But if your sex hormone binding globulin goes up, then a higher percentage of your testosterone is bound, which means that's less of it available to tissue. So I treated a lot of women who technically their total testosterone might be in the normal range, but their free testosterone was not because of the sex hormone binding globulin. And they would experience low libido and maybe vestibular pain. So I would put those women on testosterone, even if they were still having menstrual cycles. The other thing is there's a difference between technically normal levels and ideal levels. So, you know, the range that the lab tells you doesn't necessarily mean that that's normal for you. So as far as hormones go, I recommend people see a hormone specialist as opposed to just their primary care doctor or, you know, a gynecologist who doesn't specialize in hormones specifically, because those subtleties, are complicated. And people who are hormone specialists have researched that. They're going to courses, they're learning the interaction between all of these hormones, thyroid function, you know, it's not just estrogen and testosterone and their total levels. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a much more complicated picture than that. So, I mean, I personally would recommend you find a, you know, hormone specialist and get everything checked.
Every year, you think annually?
Well, start out, you know, see where you are right now. Okay. I mean, I go to a hormone specialist and he checks my levels every 4 months.
Okay. Yeah, I did. I've identified as someone since I can't even remember since I was like, you know, my late teens was probably the last time I experienced constant spontaneous sex drive and libido. And then in my probably when around the age of 19 or 20, that kind of went out the door and it will come in like teeny little waves.
And you weren't on birth control.
I was on birth control from 16 to 20 or maybe 21, but then I've never been on any hormonal birth. Well, that's not true. I have had a little stint with the Mirena. But spontaneous sex drive and libido has been something I've been pretty disconnected from. And it's not that I don't feel desire or spontaneous sex drive. It's really rare to just be like, I'm really horny right now. I'm really turned on. Oh, there's my pussy. It's just pulsating. Oh, look, I just, for some reason, just watching the show and now I'm turned on. It's something I have to really put a lot of effort into creating and both like 99% of the time. And I have done hormonal tests and panels. My testosterone did come a little bit on the lower side, but nothing that my, I was working with the naturopath, nothing that she was like, oh, this is really unusual, but we should still, let's try testosterone cream. And I think I only did it for a little bit, but I think that's really interesting. What you're saying is that you can get this general thing for your hormones, but there's so much more to it than just looking at that one number for the level. And that this is why we have specialists in so many fields, such as what you do, or what a hormone specialist does, or what we do in the sexuality field. You know, we're helping a lot of people that are going to traditional therapists, but they can't talk to them about their sex lives. And so I want to really advocate for that for people, and also probably for myself, to go seek out more specialists who have dedicated hours, years, plenty of energy and time into specializing in this one area or multiple areas in this field of sexuality that they've chosen. And then speaking to you wrote, and we actually, this is in your bio, but you have a number of books, but one is Sometimes I Laugh So Hard, The Tears Run Down My Legs. Love that title. Not for the people that are going through that.
She's talking about incontinence.
Yeah, incontinence, everyone. But, and I just, to cover that really quickly, is this, so you were talking about the Femi wave as being something that can work with that. And I know a lot of folks experience that, whether they, have had, you know, reoccurring bladder infections have caused damage, or they also have given birth, or there's a lot of reasons why. Also, I've heard also like they're pelvic floor is just too tight and it's constantly pressing on the bladder. But if you'd like to maybe elaborate a little more on, you know, why that is, and then what you're seeing in terms of what's helping with that.
With stress incontinence or just incontinence in general?
Both. Just people that, okay. I guess what you're seeing most of in your office.
Okay. Well, there's two primary types of incontinence. There's more than this, but the vast majority of your listeners are going to experience either stress incontinence, urge incontinence, or both. And to be honest with you, the most common scenario is for people to have both. Stress incontinence is leaking with activity, like a cough, laugh, sneeze, aerobics, jumping jacks, something like that. It would never happen while you're sitting there watching TV because it's an external pressure on the bladder. Now, urge incontinence is just the opposite. It's nothing to do with what you're doing, but what the bladder is doing. So, you know, remember the bladder is a muscle that knows how to empty itself without you. I mean, if anyone out there has a baby, they know that you don't have to tickle a baby or pinch its toes to get it to pee. The bladder just fills and empties all by itself. We learn to control that natural reflex. But sometimes as we get older, and primarily because the pelvic floor weakens, and as the pelvic floor weakens, we lose the ability to control that natural reflex. So urge incontinence is an unwanted leakage that has nothing to do with your movement. It just happens. So we call it urge incontinence because most of the time there's a sense of urge that happens before it. But a lot of women will say, I didn't even get any warning. It just came. And it can be a little bit of a squirt or a big squirt. Stress incontinence, on the other hand, is directly proportional to the force. So a little sneeze will result in a little leak, where vomiting might cause you to just, you know, totally pee your pants because it's proportional to the pressure. But most women have both. And it just depends on what you have as to what we do to fix it. When I was in private practice, which I've retired from that now, and so I don't do any surgeries anymore. I try and do everything sort of naturally and use the body's own healing powers, so to speak, you know, use things like FemiWave and the O shot and P shot and PRP and you know, muscle stimulators and things like that. But you know, the kinds of things that you can use for stress incontinence is muscle floor strengthening. FemiWave can help. PRP, The O-Shot's very helpful for stress incontinence. Now, for the other end of the spectrum, overactive bladder, you got to calm the bladder down. So avoiding caffeine is a big thing. You know, there's triggers and people are their own worst enemy. I'm a caffeine addict, so I admit I self-abuse by doing that. But if you have an overactive bladder, caffeine is not your friend. Kegel exercises can also help with overactive bladder. And the reason for that, not only does it strengthen the pelvic floor, but you're systematically telling the bladder to calm down. Because every time you squeeze your sphincter, you send a signal to your spinal cord that sends another signal to the bladder, telling the bladder to relax. We all know that's true from being in a, you know, in a car, you got to go to the bathroom and there's not an exit nearby, right? You really got to go. So you kind of squeeze to make sure you don't have an accident. And all of a sudden that sensation goes away. Now it's going to come back. You still have to urinate, but that, so if you do Kegel exercises and you do them religiously, every time you squeeze your sphincter, you're sending a relaxing signal to the bladder. So that's how Kegel exercises can help with both stress and urge. Stress by strengthening the pelvic floor, urge by sending relaxing signals to the bladder.
Oh, interesting. So I'm learning so much.
I know. This is awesome. Can you talk about this O-Shot and the P-Spot? Because when I think of an O-Shot, yeah. Can you talk about the O-Shot? I think of like, oh, like I'm getting an O-face from getting an O-Shot. The P-Shot as well. I said the P-Spot, but I did mean P-Shot. How do these work? And who can get these?
Well, anybody can get them. I personally have had 4 O-Shots and I can tell you they're amazing. It uses PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma therapy. PRP is used most commonly in joints.
I used
Kobe
to donate
Bryant.
Plasma to, when I donated plasma in college for money back in the day. Uh-huh. Is that what people would use it for?
Except that there's a special technique that you use to actually isolate the platelet part of the plasma.
I was like, my plasma gave someone an orgasm. Maybe.
No, not quite. Probably.
All right, sorry.
But anyway, the reason we want the platelets, it's platelets carry 21 different growth factors, and it's the growth factors that are signals to the body that tell it the area needs to heal. So for example, a platelet's job in life is just to circulate around looking for injury. And when it finds injury, it releases those growth factors. Those growth factors then signal the stem cells and the fibroblasts and everything, you know, that stimulates the body to do everything that it needs to do to heal. So the idea behind PRP is if you take a high concentration of those growth factors, inject it into whatever tissues you want to heal, you amplify that process. So the O-Shot, what we do is we take your own blood, actually for the O-Shot or the P-Shot, we take your own blood, we spin it out in an FDA approved machine for PRP so that we get 6 to 9 times the concentration of platelets. And then we inject it to whatever tissues we want to heal. For the O-Shot, we spin it down to a 5 cc's. We take 4 cc's of it and inject it in the anterior vaginal wall, which is right where the G region is. That sort of helps with vaginal sensation, but also helps with stress incontinence because it will stimulate collagen production there. Mm-hmm. And then we take 1 cc and inject it at the base of the clitoris, which enhances orgasm. For men, we spin it down to 9 cc's and we inject it into the penis and enhances erections. Mm-hmm. So it works very, very well.
Ozone is it's like a symbol because the ozone's kinda, like stirring in the little thing, but it's different.
Ozone therapy. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Different.
Okay. It, O stands for orgasm shot. Shot actually stands for priapus, which is the Greek word for penis.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I love this. I love doctors on our show. I learned so much, especially urologists.
I want to do all these things.
I want to do it too. And I'm like, oh my God, there's no time like right now. I like want to, where are you located? Can I come see?
I'm in Orlando.
Dr. C. John, do you know Dr. C? He's another urologist on our show. What is John?
He's in Orlando, isn't he?
John,
Dr. C.
He's Florida. In Florida,
Jacksonville, maybe.
What's his last name?
We call him Dr. Cock. No,
it's just Dr. C.
Dr. C.
We'll look him up and find out. I think he's somewhere in your area.
I think he is in Orlando.
But so when you.
Okay, I will reach out to him if I don't, because we think alike and have the same philosophy on treating patients. So
yeah,
Carazella.
If I don't, Carazella,
John Carazella.
Carazella.
Yeah.
He was on our show and he was super
Tampa.
Fun. Tampa.
Well, that's not too far, but yeah. maybe you can make a connection.
We'll introduce you. And so for people to work with you, you're all the way in Orlando. Is it all in person? Do you work with people online? If they want to go do things like the OSHA and, you know, can they work with you and then find a clinic, or how does this all work?
Well, for any of the treatments, obviously you have to be here physically. The good news is Orlando is a place that a lot of people fly to, so that's helpful. I've done virtual consults. I have a couple clients in California and a couple clients out in Las Vegas. Now, I can't treat them per se, but I can do a consultation, do their blood work, make recommendations, and, you know, they even hook them up with somebody that does Gainswave or P-Shot or O-Shot or FemiWave, you know, in their area.
Okay.
Nice. Good to know. And how do people find you if they are in your area and want to work with you?
Okay. Well, I think the easiest way is I have two websites. My primary one is amoremedicalspa.com that covers sort of all the services that we have. And then I have one that's floridagainswave.com, which is specifically catered to men and the treatments that I do for erectile dysfunction. But both of them have a way to email us, our phone number, a way to get a hold of us pretty easily. And you can even just Google me, you know. Dr. Eisenbrown.
You're Googleable. You're very Google. Dr. Nicole Eisenbrown, thank you so much. I learned so much. I adore.
You guys are awesome.
Information like this, because
we didn't just make this about us the whole time.
No. Thing is, it's relative to a lot of folks out there that maybe didn't understand, like, oh, I'm in my mid-30s, maybe this is something I should approach or think about, or at least have a consult with a doctor that can help them and guide them, like such as yourself. And the fact that you're available via the interweb is wonderful. So we'll have Dr. Eisenbrown's links on our website, but thank you, Nicole. Dr. Nicole.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. And thank you for what you guys do. You're amazing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for what you do and all of the beautiful scientific nomenclatures that we learned today. Yeah, I'm so smart now. To all of you out there in the land of the shameless sex revolution, we love you and we love wine. If you didn't know that by now, then you probably don't listen to the end of the podcast. But guess what? It's the end of the podcast. This is just one shout out to our wine sponsor. We drink wine. Yes, we do. Sometimes we take breaks, but it's good for your heart, right, Dr. Eisenbrown? She's shaking her head. Yes, like, I promise.
Everything in moderation.
So go check out marginswine.com because it's very boutique wine, limited releases, only a couple a year, sometimes a few. But if you sign up for the newsletter, you'll be in the know. It's reasonably priced wine too, and it tastes beautiful. So go check it out, marginswine.com. You can also save money if you want to buy 3 or more bottles. Shameless Sex 10 is the code to enter at checkout. If you want to buy 6 or more bottles, it's Shameless Sex 15. Nailed it. That was really fast. And I want to do one more invitation. If you love Shameless Sex and love our guests, such as Dr. Nicole Eisenbrown and all the other folks that have been out there sharing their knowledge and expertise, please go and rate us on iTunes, y'all. It only helps more people find Shameless Sex and all of these practitioners, authors, experts that are out there sharing their wisdom with the world. We appreciate it. We read every single one. 5 stars is preferred. Tell us how you feel. We love you. We'll see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.